Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately. Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Not bad.
Good. It's good to be here on a Sunday morning live, finally.
Yeah. Back on Ustream.
Back on Ustream. They're like, there was nobody listening, so it's not like a big deal that we actually did a... What do you call it?
We started the show.
We did a dress rehearsal.
Yeah, okay. Can I take the dress off now?
No.
Oh, okay.
Lift your skirt just a little bit higher. Sorry about that.
That's all right. We're back on track now.
Back on track.
And I had asked you about the if you had put on Facebook that we were broadcasting live right now.
Yes, I did. And yes, I did, because right within the Ustream app that's built into it, when you start broadcasting, there is a little place for you to update your Twitter status, and my Twitter automatically goes to my Facebook.
Yeah, and I do Twitter, but I wish I was using something that went to everything at once, too, but I just haven't had the chance to implement that yet.
You got a funny story about that or something?
Oh, no, I was waiting for your getting around to it thing.
Oh, you haven't got around to it, that's it.
And then what I wanted to tell you was I had an aunt, and she was not much older than me, like a few years only. My mom's sister, she passed away from breast cancer in like 2003 or something like that.
So this is your mom's younger sister.
Yeah, and at some time, when she was in college, she went to St. Clair College. She was a journalist. She worked for the Star and everything or whatever. She was a writer for the paper or something. I can't even remember anymore.
But, your mom's sister.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I remember for one of her birthdays or something, because she lived at home, you know, until whenever, and she was the youngest one to leave my grandmother's till she got married or whatever. And everything she was asked to do, you know, well, I'll do it when I get around to it. I'll do it when I get around to it. Well, for one of her birthdays or whatever it was, they had gotten her a chain with a, what do you call it? Would you put it on a chain? Like a little
pendant?
Pendant of some kind. And it was around to it. It was a round silver pendant that said to it on it.
T-O-I-T.
Yeah. So now you got a round to it. So do everything I tell you to do.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
Who thought of that?
I don't know. I don't know who it was that thought of it or got it for. I'm sure it was my grandmother that got it for, I think, but I don't know. I'll have to find out more information on the story, and we'll do a whole show on it next week.
No, we won't. That's not going to happen.
The show?
No,
oh, okay.
A whole show on round two its.
A whole show is not going to happen.
Well, your grandmother, did she was she gainfully employed, or did she?
My grandmother worked for Park Davis forever in Michigan.
What is Park Davis?
Park Davis was the pharmaceutical company of some kind, big production place. Park Davis.
So it was a manufacturing facility.
Yeah, kind of thing right in Detroit, right across the river, and somewhere else over there, I think she worked for quite some time. And then after that, later years, she was doing. She did like she had her own home business of like ironing and that kind of thing, sewing, ironing. And she was very profitable. It was very profitable for a long time, for years and years and years. Like most all the time that I really knew her, I recall that's what she did.
People would
bring her their
clothes
that needed ironing
and mending.
Mending too, yeah.
So if you bought a new pair of pants, you'd go bring them to...
Yeah, Goldie.
Goldie.
Goldie Golden.
Goldie Golden.
Speaking of Goldie Golden,
yes.
You know, last year I did the Bushman ukulele contest, and
yes.
I did the video for my grandmother playing ukulele.
Well, and the song was called?
It's coming up again. It was called Golden Days.
Golden Days, there you go.
You can search it on YouTube, Golden Days ukulele video, and the new one's coming up. So now I got to do something a lot different, because I did a really good video last time. It was a good song, good video, everything, but it was just a little too serious, I think, for their...
The production was, you know, up in the top 1%. Of all the videos that were submitted, and that kind of added a little more serious professionalism to it.
That was part of it, and I think what I did it on, and you know, the whole thing, it was like, you know, it was a pretty good video, like it was a pro type of video, and it seems that pretty much everybody that does the videos on there, they do them in front of their webcam, and they're kind of corny or funny, you know, kind of thing, comical. And those are the kind of things that they're looking for more than what I did, you know?
Right.
So I want to try and, you know, gear my next one to that type of thing. And so I'm getting ready to do that now.
They want you to be more like the average man ukulele player.
Yeah, just a for fun thing.
Right. That's, you could tell you know, some are recorded on camcorders as well.
Some are recorded on camcorders, and some are done pretty well. But, I mean, it was just, I think it was the serious aspect of it.
I agree, 100%.
So, anyway, the new one's coming up, and I got, like, the next month or couple to do that. So, watch for that.
Sure.
New ukulele video by Big JD.
Bushman.
But I won't tell you what I'm doing yet.
Good.
It's a surprise.
We want to be surprised, Big JD. So this past Friday night at Caesars Windsor in Windsor, Ontario, Cheech and Chong performed their bit that they do.
Yeah.
And Big JD and I were lucky enough to be present, but we never actually saw each other at the show.
No. We were both there, but we weren't together.
No. So your impressions?
Monkey? Cow?
Don't you do people
anymore? Yeah. Big JD? Hey, this is Big JD.
Do you do any impression? Do you think you're good at doing anybody?
I can do some impressions, sure. Can you?
No.
I can do Marge Simpson.
Okay.
How homer.
That's good.
I can do the drunk guy on there.
Homer.
I can probably do other ones.
You sure can. That was good. Very good. So anyway, back to Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
What were your, if you could sum up what you thought of the show?
Everything that I would have expected and pretty much and wanted to see or thought that I'd see pretty well, except for a couple little skits that are pretty well known that I thought they might have done. And yeah. I thought they might have done the Marge and whatever his name was a little bit different. Like it was good too, but... there's some funny stuff from the past that I thought they might have incorporated a little more into that Marge. And
that's pretty much the way they did. They incorporated many skits into one skit.
Yeah. But it was great. And, you know...
Two guys and two chairs. That's what they used.
And some people would think that, well, they're so old now and this and... Or they're going to just redo everything. And well, that's what I want to see. I never saw Cheech and Chong. So I was happy to see anything that they did from the past that was on any of the albums. Or, you know. And it was great. I thought it was great. I thought they did a great job. They're funny.
Yeah, they're pros.
And I think it was a great added thing there that his wife does comes up and does some stand-up beforehand, and then she came out again later, and that was cool.
Yeah, she plays like a ditzy blonde. And for being married to Tommy Chong, she's hot for an older
woman, yeah.
Absolutely. He's 71 years old.
Oh, that's how old he is?
Tommy Chong, 71. Oh,
I didn't really realize. I'm thinking 60s, you know?
I thought 60s,
71,
too.
Wow.
But there was a review in yesterday's paper of the show.
How old's Cheech?
64, 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, he's much younger, 61 or something. Okay. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact age of Tommy Chong. We could easily find that out. Huh. But
Cheech seems to look a little older than Chong to me. I mean, he looks like more like he's eight, except for Chong's all gray now.
Yeah.
I think Cheech looks more like he's aged.
More weathered.
But he's just as funny and cool and witty and, you know, quick.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole thing. They're older, but they haven't lost any of their comedic timing because a lot of those skits depend heavily on perfect timing. And if you're used to listening to their albums and their skits... There is a certain flow. It's almost like you're mouthing your words to like the lyrics of a song. You know what I mean? And it just came out just that way.
Right.
What you up to there, JD?
I was just going to go play a little clip from the show that we saw.
You're going to play it through?
I'm just going to run it through the microphone.
There we go. From his iPhone to the Jabbercast listeners. Yes, they do. Those Mexican Americans.
Mexican American
eating their beans.
That's what I also do, Cheech.
Hey man, meet you a con, man. Meet you a con.
Oh wow, man.
Yeah, I guess if I wasn't put on the spot, I'm sure I've done many impressions of Tommy Chong.
Yeah.
You know.
At many a party.
Sure. Dave's not here.
That's great, man.
And they didn't do that, did they?
No.
No,
they didn't do that.
You think they would just maybe even throw a little bit of Dave's Not Here into something
that's
else?
That's very funny. I would have thought they would do that, and I would have thought that they did, what was the other one I mentioned to you? Something, the Earache My Eye actual skit.
Right.
With a kid or something, you know.
Yeah, they did the tune.
Yeah.
My basketball coach, he done kicked me off the team. We used to do that tune. King Friday used to play that song.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was it was a little tricky, but
did you guys do any? Did you ever do anything from the Spinal Tap album?
No Spinal
Too
Tap.
Too bad. That'd be neat.
Well, that tune, the Earache My Eye tune, that was like played on CKLW when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a well known song, or like it's familiar. Whereas you don't hear any Spinal Tap on the radio.
No, not really.
It's kind of a cultish type thing, but anyway. We were at Cheech and Chong, and you were sitting next to...
I was sitting next to my old bass player, Kyle. My recent, you know, we're on our third bass player already in JDBC, so... And that's...
You got the third bass.
What? Yeah, third bass. We had... Russ was in till the first practice, and then he was gone. And then Kyle comes in.
First practice, yeah. He's gone.
Yeah.
Does that happen often, you think?
This happens all the time.
Of course.
Then Kyle was in, and Kyle, he's going through some stuff or whatever, and he couldn't really play anymore. So, that was that. And we got Terry in the band, and it was just like a couple days prior to, I'm going to say maybe 3 days prior to Cheech and Chong was when this happened with Kyle.
Tell me what happened with Kyle again. I'm sorry. I was,
Kyle just, he was going through some stuff and he doesn't really, he's not able to practice right now and stuff. And so,
okay, I'm sorry.
So we're like, okay, well, cool. You know, good luck with whatever you do when you get something together and whatever. And, you know, Terry's in the band now, which I had offered Terry in the past, but he just didn't jump on it in time. And we needed somebody right away to get things going and, you know, so whatever. But anyways, it turns out that Kyle comes in and this show had just started, so the lights went down and everything, and he's looking at me because his seat's next to mine, and I look at him and I'm like, it didn't register at first who it was, and he looks almost exactly like another bass player of mine from Wicked Angel back in the day, and I'm looking at him like, Blake, no, wait. It's Kyle. Oh, holy smokes. Like, I didn't even register, really.
And Kyle's going, oh, you're smoking doobies,
yeah,
aren't
yeah.
you?
So he sits down, and we're elbow to elbow all night. It was really nice. No, it was cool. So
he bailed on JDBBBC?
Pretty much. I didn't offer any, you know, well, you know, maybe we can wait a little bit. Or, you know, he had his was faced with moving out from his dad's place. And he was just going through some crap like that,
mm-hmm.
where he just couldn't make it to practice, and he doesn't really have the time right now because he's going through all this crap and stuff, and he's not, you know, am I going to be able to practice this coming week or next week? You know, I don't know. And I'm just like, you know, what? Cool. Then we're just going to move on.
Sure.
So, you know what I mean?
But that happens all the time.
Yeah.
So, but what's the story with the first bass player after the first practice? He just...
Well, what happened with him was he just had a kid... He plays with a country band in the city, and, you know, his wife was, you know, probably in his ear or something. Who knows? But it was just, I think he was biting off more than he could chew. And after the first practice, he was like, you know what? It's just too much. Like, I can't do everything. I have to let something go. And so I'm just not going to carry this any further now before, you know, it gets too far and I'm not going to be able to put the time in.
Right.
He said, I just can't. So, that's cool.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do. Yeah. So, Terry's in now. You going to make him get a mohawk or?
Terry got a pretty cool haircut just recently. So, now he's allowed to play.
All right. Got to follow the rules if you're going to be playing with Big JD.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Got an Apple computer? It's All Things Mac on the Easy Mac Podcast. Join the Easy Mac guys, Jeff and Mike, at www.easymacpodcast.com or simply search Easy Mac at the iTunes store. That's the letter E, the letter Z, Mac, Easy Mac Podcast.
This is Big JD's grandma, and you're listening to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo.
And straight from the newsroom floor, and the walls, and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
Back.
Here we are.
To the newsroom.
So what's in the news? Well, Cheech and Chong played Windsor.
I heard it was a good show.
Well, Big JD and Lippo say so. Then you know it is.
That's right. You got to believe every word they say.
Don't believe everything you hear unless it comes from Big JD and Lippo on the Jabbercast. That's www.thejabbercast.com. Hear me out at thejabbercast.com. Leave a message at the...
You're like on speed dial over there, aren't you?
I'm still high from the show.
Are you taking anything to get you going?
No, nothing this morning at all.
No,
this is just natural. Suda,
what are they called? Suda.
Sudafed.
Fed.
No, I don't. That's not. I don't know. What is Sudafed? I don't even know what that is. Sudafed is some kind of...
phenols. That's what I'm thinking of.
Sinus. You said fetal.
Yeah, whatever.
That's what you said.
Pseudopenis.
Didn't you say fetal?
Phenol.
Oh, phenol. Okay, yeah.
Isn't that something?
I don't know. Ephedra.
Is that what I'm thinking
of? Fenfen.
Yeah. Is that a thing?
Finfin. That's $10. Yeah, so, hey, what's going on in the world today?
That's the name of a song right there, isn't it?
Yeah, what is that? What's going on in the world today? I'm going on in the world today.
Yep.
What is it? Who is it? Do you know?
No, it's not coming to
me. Well, the first caller can win...
Yeah, we are on Ustream, and you know how many people are watching us right now, listening?
Hundreds, if not thousands. Millions.
No, we're not a millions thing.
We should be. The podcast is worldwide.
That's how people like
only to this podcast is.
That's how people like to listen to their Jabbercast via podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything for news, Big JD?
I'm storming the news sites here looking for something, but what have you got?
There's a lot of strife going on as far as natural disasters, that's for sure. There's floods in India and earthquakes off the coast of
Samoa.
Fiji. Yeah, Samoa as well. So some crazy stuff going on. What do you think? Think this kind of activity is going to increase more and more?
We're headed into the 2012 realm, and so we're going to be seeing a lot of natural disasters and stuff. I just listened to a great 2012 show on Coast to Coast the other night. They had a guy on with his take on some things about 2012. It was very interesting, really cool. And I guess the Mayans are actually going to be coming out with some type of a press release type thing in the near future about 2012 and what 2012 really is, because they've been quiet through all this, like, you know, the people that are descendants of this whole thing. And I think they want to set a record straight of some kind because of this 2012 doomsday movie and everything, and all this doomsday that's associated with everything. And
it's the Mayan calendar.
Not exactly like that, I guess. So,
right? It's the Mayan calendar that ends.
Right. The Mayan calendar ends in the end of 2012. But they say that it's a 7-year period, actually, and that date is not actually it's actually a 7-year period of what's going on, which started already, like, I think I'm going to say a couple years back or something even. So we're in this transition period now.
From 2005 to 2012, that's the 7-year period?
Well, no, it's later in 2005. I think it goes beyond 2012, actually, by a couple years or something like that.
Oh, so 2012 is in the middle somewhere.
I think so, yeah. And this was some... that particular information is something I just recently heard. So I don't know that anybody really knows. But if the Mayans do say something, you know, and maybe it'll shed some light on what's going on. And they say that it can be survived, whatever it is. But I think they say it's a whole other way of survival even. Like, you can look at it as devastation, or you can look at it as
rejuvenation.
Yeah. Which is supposed to be the whole thing. The new age of a spiritual enlightenment is coming.
We could use it.
And in this, I think it was that same show that they had a lot of information about the UFO phenomena and extraterrestrials and everything, is that, and that the sophisticated, you know, people or whatever they are, these ETs, they don't even need craft to travel. The crafts that we know of, that type of activity is you know, lower end of the spectrum, not as far advanced.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're getting here and they don't actually take any ship or anything.
Yeah, yeah. They don't need anything to travel. So, you know, what does that mean? I don't know.
That means they could be here right now.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they are. But other dimensional travel.
I'm sure, you know, they are.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we're not alone here. No way, man. Wait till you find out what's going on. It's going to be incredible. And I can't wait for it.
Well, you're going to have to wait. And in the meantime, mm-hmm. we're going to do a Jabbercast.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, a lot of uproar in the world today, yeah.
I'm just curious how these natural disasters tie into...
It was Aerosmith. Go on. Something wrong with the world today.
Very good. Okay.
So what do I win? T-shirt?
Yes. A Jabbercast... You want this t-shirt?
Isn't that the chicken house?
It's a chicken foot t-shirt. Chicken house.
Nobody here but us chickens. Swine flu could exceed hospital capacity in 15 states.
You going to go to the hospital for swine flu?
I guess a lot of people do. Maybe if you're a young
person,
or if you're old, you might need
sick
hospitalization.
Already.
Yeah. Well, of course, yeah. If you get the swine flu,
That's what's going to happen to, I think that could be also tied into this whole, we're going to have some kind of human cleansing.
I think that could be tied into government somehow, yeah, sure.
The government?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
One of the governments, either the government or the, you know, black government. I don't mean Obama thing, I mean black government, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
The not elected government.
Right.
The people who own the world government.
Exactly.
Do you think that H1N1 or swine flu was purposely let loose, as it were?
I don't know. Yeah, I think that there could very well be something to that. Yeah,
absolutely.
And especially just for the simple fact of making people have to get vaccinated.
Right.
Even if right now that vaccination is nothing but placebo, even, you know, it's just a big setup for the future.
It's the setup.
You know, something's coming. Everybody's got to get their such and such a shot.
Right.
And then, you know, there goes most of the world's population, and they're down to with the 200,000 they want on the planet, and who knows what.
200,000? That's pretty sparse.
Well, whatever it is going to be small. Very small and contained.
And
very
contained.
Easy to handle. Very easy to handle. Yeah, you're not just going to have your own free will and do what you want.
Why not? If it's only 200,000 people,
it ain't going to happen like that. There's a reason they want that.
You can't make it any impact if you're...
You're not going to have to make no impact. You're not going to be there to make an impact.
Right.
I don't know what they want exactly. Who knows what they want?
I don't know what they want.
If they only want a certain... If it's even 500,000, what do they want only that many people for? I mean, especially those people now, they control... so much and everything and everybody and all the money and all, you know, what are they going to have when there's 2-5 million people only on the planet? What are they going to have? What are they going to control? Whoop-de-doo, right. We control, like, you know, a few thousand people.
Yeah, right, he must be the mayor of a city.
Yeah, yeah, it's just useless. Now they control everything, the whole world. So
I don't know. Is it just a big power thing? I don't know. But anyway, we're getting really deep and we're just in the news.
Yeah, are we still in the news?
We were in the news when we first started podcasting.
Oh, okay.
Wicked Angel guitarist starts podcasting.
Well, speaking of the swine flu.
Yes.
Hey, this is Jeff from the Jeff and Lana Show. Lana and I are independent distributors of Shaga International. Check this out. of flus and colds? Try Shaka. Touted for centuries throughout Asia as the king of herbs, a gift from God, and the mushroom of immortality, Shaga is now available in its purest and rarest form for the first time in a powerful extract manufactured exclusively for Shaga International. Our wild-crafted Siberian Shaga extract raises the bar in the arena of life-enhancing herbal supplements. Historically revered, previously only available to the few, Shaga International has embarked on a global mission to share the superior Shaga extract with everyone. Visit our website, myshaga.com/oppen. That's myshaga, myshaga.com/oppen, O-P-P-E-N. myshaga.com/oppen. Pick up a bottle today. As well, you can join us in our mission by using the opportunity menu. That's myshaga.com/oppen. That's right. Visit our Shaga website today, myshaga.com/oppen.
All right. The Jabbercast show today is on records and tapes and CDs and MP3s and...
And what else?
The audio, different audio formats, music audio formats, type of thing.
So we're going to take a blast to the past first.
Yeah. From the beginning to the end. From the phonograph.
The phonograph. The gramophone.
What about
the other?
What about, yeah, gramophone? Are those things that spin around like...
Cylinders.
Yeah. Alexander Graham Bell made that, didn't he? Or was it Edison?
Might have been Edison.
I think so. I think he stole that from somebody or somebody. Yeah.
I think it was all very competitive.
Tight. Yeah.
From coast to coast, like the Germans and the French and the Americans.
Yeah, they probably say that they have somebody that Jean-Pierre such and such is the one that invented that, and we never heard of it.
At the beginning of the 20th century, all that stuff started cooking. The beginning of automobile production, the beginning of radio, the beginning of recorded music,
as it were. Has there been any other time in history where everything just popped up like it did around that time?
Is there any other time in history?
Yeah, like after that where all kinds of new developments just popped up. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because around that time was everything started coming into play.
Yeah.
It was telephones and everything.
I think if you look closely at the Greek civilization, the way that thing started in Greece, I think you'll find a period during then that development happened relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think the same would hold true in the Roman Empire as well. Things just, you know, as you prosper, people try to make things better because the resources are aplenty. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that definitely the beginning of the 20th century was obviously a big leap forward for the human standard of living. And it's also the cause that there's so many people on Earth as well.
Yeah.
Too many, according to the Illuminati.
So, yeah, records and tapes, like, where did it all start? It all started from those cylinders, I guess.
Being able to, as far as recorded music goes.
Record sound, yeah. When did sound first start?
Stop. It's when the tree fell down in the forest and nobody heard it.
There you go. So, going further back to what we really remember, probably the earliest, you know, types of recordings are maybe the 78 records. I mean, we still had them when I was a kid, the 78 records. And the old record players played 78s and 33s and 45s, which we'll get into all three of these. But the old 78 records, they were thick.
Mm-hmm.
They were, if I'm not mistaken, a little smaller in diameter than
than 33s, yeah.
And they were old records.
Polyvinyl chloride.
Mm, nice.
That's what they were made out of.
Oh, I thought that's what I was drinking.
Some people called it vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though it had nothing to do with
it. That's what you refer to it as vinyl. Was vinyl records vinyl?
Yes. But that's where polyvinyl chloride. That's what
you. Short form.
Yeah. They were made, some were made of wax, weren't they?
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm not sure either. Gramophone records were the primary medium used for commercial music reproduction for most of the 20th century, replacing phonograph cylinder by the 1920s.
There you go.
They were largely supplanted by the late 1980s by digital media.
And we'll get into more of that as we
Absolutely.
Progressing the show, but...
Phonograph cylinders were the earliest medium for recording and reproducing sound, commonly known as... They were called those records as well, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which makes perfect sense. And their main popularity started in 1888. They were around as early as 1888. And the cylinder-shaped objects had an audio recording engraved on the outside surface, which could be reproduced when the cylinder was played on a mechanical phonograph.
Do you have information on 8-tracks and cassettes and everything, so as we go through some of these, that you'll have that?
Sure.
Okay. So, anyway, vinyl was a big thing for a long time, and we moved into the 33.5 RPM, which is revolutions per minute, records. And do we really know why there was a transition between the two mediums? I mean, one being different or better than the other. I think they were more longer playing, I think.
They played longer, and it was less expensive to produce.
And why would it be less to produce than a 78?
Oh,
I mean, I'm talking between 78 and 33 is like why that transition, I wonder. Except I think they were a little larger, so they were longer. I don't know if the material was any different. They were thinner, so that might have come into play as them being cheaper, them thinner. But mm-hmm. You know, they could have made the same ones thinner, I guess, except they expanded, I think, on the time.
That's what it was. It was the time thing. It was a new...
Or the quality, being able to make bigger grooves or something, you know.
Modulated grooves, they're called.
Wow.
And they
got all the technical lingo down. That's great. And you only get it here at the Jabbercast.
And the stylus that you put at the end of it, the more sensitive it was, the better sound you got out of it.
Which changed as well. Those changed from the little... From just like a regular little needles to the stylus.
Yeah.
And I think they had... Remember the old ones that you just flipped one way or the other for 78 and whatever? I think they were different size needles for the different type of grooves, so that must
probably
have
something
to do with the whole thing.
When you mention that, that just totally brings back a memory of the record players that did have those on them.
You just flicked it the other way. And then the other ones, of course, the cartridge ones... That plug in, and you could change them. You know, they were a little bit bigger cartridge like.
It was like an actual plug. Thing.
Yeah, and they had a little thing that would come down where you could, you know, protect it.
Yeah.
They always had that protection.
Because those things were like big money.
Yeah.
For back in the day, I'm like when in the 70s, I remember Mr. and Mrs. Laffer had their TV and their record player was in it. Two big 12 inch speakers on either side of it in a nice wooden cabinet. And it was like a big, expensive piece of furniture.
Yeah.
And theirs was really nice, too, because you could tape. How was that? Oh, they had an 8-track in there as well.
So you could
tape onto 8-tracks, but that was just totally bogus. Mm-hmm. So they were into that for a little while, but then they started taping back then when taping was really taping. But I remember doing a lot of recording on a cassette, but we set up mics in front of their speakers because their stereo sounded probably one of the best stereos I'd heard up to that point. You know, I'm like a little kid in grade 7 or something going over to the Laffer's house and listening to their stereo. And that's like the first time I ever heard like the Montrose album.
Right.
Was on that.
Wow. You
know, cranking in Mr. and Mrs. Laffer's living room.
Very cool. I wish I remember all the things in the stereos and the stuff that I had, buddies had, family had, you know, because there was a lot of cool, big, old things that we probably listened to a lot of cool stuff on and I just don't remember them.
But what got me into that conversation is the stylus thing.
Yeah.
So there was broke, something happened to it. And I remember Mr. Laffer was just pissed because it was an expensive replacement unit to put in there.
Those things were a dime a dozen for me at home. We had just dozens and dozens of those all the time, everywhere. And anytime I needed a new one, it was just nothing to go get one from McKay's or tell my dad, just can you bring me home a couple new styluses things.
Really?
Yeah, all the time. Nice. And I just found a couple that I still had brand new sitting in a little thing when I was going through some stuff, because I was going through some stuff to put on Kijiji, because all my stuff stored at my uncle's, and I came across some. So if you need a stylus, I
look on Kijiji.
I'm asking you personally. No. Are you good? I don't know if they all are all interchangeable the same, really, or
I don't know,
but anyway, I came across a couple, so...
Need a fix for some cool music? Check out Mike LaPlante's Border City Radio podcast. Visit www.bordercityradio.com or search Border City Radio at the iTunes store.
So then, from... I guess, would it have been even, was it before the long play records they actually had the 45s? Because I know it was all during, you know. But did they come up with a 45? Did they switch to a small thing?
No, I think the 33 came first.
Yeah?
I believe so.
And so then they had the singles.
Then singles, I think those started becoming popular in the beginning of the 50s.
I think when as bands became popular and they kind of became like, you know, stars, or they came out with, you know, records from an artist where they had a particular song that was always on the radio or something. So they had these singles, which were 45 RPM records, which spun at a faster rate. And they were small and had a big hole in the center.
Yes, they did.
So then comes into play those nostalgic things like those, the ones that you could, it was a little square gadget that you could stack a bunch of records on and then put the arm over, you know, and it would drop one at a time and play it. You remember those?
Oh, we had one.
Isn't that cool?
It was the best.
We had dozens of them. They were like, we used them like for toy phones and stuff. Like they were just a joke to us. Yeah. We had so many like junk. And then you had the small round thing that would you could put on the little, you know, like the older record players had that tall post to put the records on.
Yep.
And then you'd have to use something like you know, that or some type of centerpiece for the 45s. But then when they came out with the nice turntables, they had a small post that was only like, you know, maybe half an inch high.
Yep.
So the days of, you know, stacking 45s was gone for sure. But they would still play the 45 RPM records, and you'd have to put some kind of a disc inside the 45 RPM so it fit on there. Mm-hmm. And they have those retro ones that you know, they're hard to explain, but it's just a small flat thing, and it wasn't solid. And I'm not sure why they weren't actually solid, really. Do you have any idea why that wasn't solid? Remember they had that, you remember that shape, the little round thing that goes inside them?
Yep. I don't know why it wasn't solid either.
But it's
cheaper to make? I'm not sure.
Pretty cool thing anyways, and then the good record players would usually come with something, a thicker thing that you could use for that to just put your record on. You know, it didn't actually stick inside the 45 RPM record. You put your 45 on it. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You may have one with don't you have a turntable? Do you have a regular type turntable now?
We have a turntable, yeah.
Yeah, and that would usually have its own little thing that we would take it off and put it for storage at the, you know, in the back corner of the thing.
I remember that.
So that's some pretty nostalgic stuff there. That's cool.
And when was the last time you actually listened to some vinyl?
When I transferred them, probably. Well, I probably listen to vinyl later. My buddy Rob's still big into vinyl and has top line equipment and albums and everything. But my last time really, my own especially, was just transferring some stuff into the computer, some records, and then I got rid of my turntable actually.
And it's gone.
Right now it's gone, yeah.
The only one we have is just the one that has the speakers in it as well, and a radio.
Okay,
yeah. And it's in a little wooden box, a little TIAC, Chinese made.
I had a Technics, whole stereo system.
Sure, of course. The 7-inch 45 RPM record was introduced in 1949 by RCA as a smaller, more durable, and higher fidelity replacement for the 78 RPM shellac disc. The first 45 RPMs were monaural with recordings on both sides of the disc. Mm-hmm. As stereo recordings became more popular in the 60s, almost all 45 RPM records were produced in stereo by the early 1970s. So it sounds like from this wiki article that 45s preceded 33 and a third. Right.
But at a time where there was already a long play record, huh?
Which was the 78s, yeah.
No, the 33s.
No, it doesn't sound like...
Yeah, but when did the 33s come into play?
I'm going to tell you right now. History, CBS Research. I'm looking for a year. 1952, Columbia Records began to bring out extended play LPs that played for as long as 52 minutes or 26 minutes per side.
So it was the 45 first.
Yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. 7-inch.
Yes.
And as opposed to the big 10-inch.
The big 10-inch, yeah. That's where that actually comes from. What's the line? Loves my big 10-inch
record. Of Berry Blues.
That's right. Because she likes...
Aerosmith again.
Well, it's not Aerosmith.
Who did it? I don't know.
I don't know who did it originally. I have the original version.
Oh, do you?
That would be the tune to play.
Well, of course it would be.
You're going to get that by the time we do Sunday Morning Music Mayhem.
Hey, this is Big JD from Jeffrey David's Blues Connection. Just wanted to make sure you know that our double-length debut CD is available now at most online music retailers, including Amazon.com, CDBaby.com, and the iTunes Store. It's some of the heaviest blues you'll find anywhere. It's available for digital download, so download a copy today and crank it up!
You say you wanna leave. I guess I can't.
Hey, this is Jeff Oppen from Wicked Angel, Canada's power metal trio. By now, you're probably aware that we recently released a CD, the Remastered Collection 2009. It's a compilation of past tracks, remastered, including a brand new song, New World Rising. It's available in hard copy and MP3 download at many fine online music retailers, including CDNRecords.com, Amazon.com, the iTunes Store, and CDBaby.com. Pick up a copy and crank it up!
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig, brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
Man, all this Border City Radio is mentioning. I'm going to have to start doing one of those.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought I had the original version of... I know I do have it. It's just not called Big 10 Inch. It's called something else.
Are you sure it's that song you're thinking
Absolutely
of? Or are you
positive.
Thinking of Walking in the Sand?
No.
Okay.
Talking about, it's like an old blues tune. It is a blues tune.
Yeah.
She Just Loves My Big 10
she
Inch
Just
Record.
She Just Loves My Big 10 Inch Record of Barry Blues, isn't it?
No.
Or is that older than that?
A record of her favorite blues is what it is.
Okay. I thought it might have been some Barry Blues.
What is Barry Blues?
Well, Chuck Berry.
Oh. No, no. See, yeah, that tune was actually written before Chuck Berry wrote a tune. But anyway, we're going to play the most popularly covered version of it by Aerosmith, and this is on their. This is on
Toys in the Attic, isn't it?
Yes, it is Toys in the Attic, and it's a Big 10 Inch.
God needs strange woman. Believe me, this chick's no cinch, but I better get her going. I'm a big 10-inch red band that plays the blues. Well, band that plays the blues. She just loved my big 10-inch record of a favorite blues. Stop at jiving. Now whip out your big 10-inch record up. Band of players of blues. Well, band of players of blues. She just loved my big 10-inch record on my favorite blues. I caught her with a kiss. And when we in lovers clinch, she gets all excited. When she flips on my big 10-inch record up. Band of players of blues. Well,
nice. Some quick work there on Lippo's behalf.
Say what?
Setting up that tune.
Set her up, baby.
Because we actually had something else lined up to play.
Yep.
Good stuff.
But that was cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Studio audience seems to like it. So back to the where have all the old formats of music gone, and why did we get out of one and into the other? I think in the early days it was a matter of necessity. We needed something more durable, something cheaper to make. But
well,
now
it's not a necessity. It's out of more money all the time.
More money.
Yeah. Something they could put more songs on it. They could make it cheaper, make it thinner, make it smaller. We can sell more of them and make more money.
So
that's somehow that's how it's, you know.
And the CD was the culmination of that, I think.
Well, we're not there yet.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. That's where it just got too much. We knew that it was cost 10 cents to make them, and they're selling them for $20 a piece.
Yeah, for sure. So following the records, they came out with tape, an analog tape that they could change the molecules on, I guess, to make music.
Little pieces of magnet.
Yeah.
That stuck to a ribbon of tape.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were arranged a certain way, this head would be able to read that pattern and translate that into sound that you hear.
Which eventually led to our zeros and ones later on.
Do you think? Oh, yeah. Because they put zeros and ones on tape based on where the magnets.
Well, I don't know how that works for that as opposed to digital tape, maybe.
Did you ever own a Commodore 64?
No.
Okay. Because that used tape for your programs, actual cassette tape. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's weird if you think about it.
Yeah.
No floppies. It was before floppies. We put cassettes into our computers.
My cousin had a 45 RPM record player in his car.
What?
Yeah.
That
played records in the car, yeah.
Did it work?
Yeah, I guess so.
Stack a whole bunch up on top of each other?
I don't know if you could stack them or not, but I just remember he had it. And it would have been good to have a little interview with him on the show about it, but I never even thought about it now. Until now. So, 8-track tapes. That was our first tape.
Oh, that's right. I thought you were going into cassettes.
No, we had the 8-track tape, which is 4 tracks of tape that would actually clunk in between all the tracks.
Yeah,
and what that would be was, I guess it was a thicker tape, and it would be actually 4 layers on that tape, I guess, like side by side.
Yes. 8-track tape, or sometimes known as 8-track cartridge, is a magnetic tape sounding recording technology popular from the mid-1960s to the early 1980s. Stereo 8 was created in 1964 by a consortium led by Bill Lear of Learjet Corporation, along with Ampex, famous amplifier maker, Ford Motor Company, General Motors, Motorola, and RCA Records.
Wow, where's Chrysler in all this?
But that's kind of a weird consortium. Yeah. Car companies, amp companies, and a guy who makes Lear jets.
It's all about money, man. That's what it's all about.
Obviously. Later, so, a quadraphonic version was made of the format.
Quadraphonic 8-track, yeah. Just like the records.
Quad 8.
They had records like that, too. 33s that were quadraphonic, and that just never really took off. And you had to have the quadraphonic stereo to play them on. But the 8-tracks, they had 4 separate tracks, so the head would move to a different place, you know, and would just continue along the, and once it switched to another track for more music, it would go clunk clunk during the middle of the song or whenever it was, and that's just how it worked.
It was horrible, because they had to lay the songs out in the same order that they came in on the album, so they couldn't space it any, it had to be spaced the way it was spaced.
Yeah, and you couldn't really go to a specific song either, you had to just go to whatever next track, and it would go wherever it was. On that track, basically, you couldn't really pick and choose anything.
No. If there was 3
Not a lot different than cassette, but...
No, not a lot of different from cassette at all.
You couldn't, yeah.
So you actually lost some functionality going from records to tape.
Yeah, but for some type of convenience, because now you could actually play the 8 tracks in your car.
That's the whole thing.
You know.
That's the whole car thing right there. Well, now I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why General Motors and Ford were involved. People are on...
Oh, right. There you go. Yeah, okay.
People on Ustream should be talking to us and letting us know stuff like that.
Yeah. What kind of car they drive?
No.
If they still have an 8-track.
A lot of times you don't see things because they're just sitting right in front of you.
For its nostalgic value, I was really into 8-track later on too. When I just not that long ago, when I owned my house and had the garage, and I would have I had an old realistic 8-track recorder, player out there, and lots of old tapes, and I had still had sealed in the package an Elvis 8-track.
Wow.
Original. And I think I might have had a couple other sealed ones that I opened, like a Sinatra one or something like that. But the Elvis one I gave to Hummer.
Really?
Yeah, he was pretty excited about that.
And, oh, you're just going to keep that as a keepskate. What a cheapskate that keepskate was. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So I love the 8-track. That was part of the Heath kit that my dad built. I know we've talked about it on this show before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The 8-track came with it.
And what did that have to do with it? Just because you could use it with music too? What was the Heath kit?
The Heath kit was like a receiver as we know it now. Okay. You could have multiple inputs. You could plug a record player into it. And the 8-track was something else he built.
Oh, okay. Wow.
It was like a little sleevey thing he put on the outside, a little wood grain, I remember.
Yeah.
With little tabs on the end that held the wood grain case. And it was an 8-track, yeah. And that's what I remember playing all of our 8-tracks on. And cranking it, because that Heath kit, I'm telling you, is one of the best stereos I've ever heard. The speaker cabinets were made with like 1-inch plywood.
So what does the crystal radios fall into kind of category for all this? Because I remember we used to have those crystal radios and build them, I think, or something. I don't remember what it is or was. What's the crystal radio kit? What is that?
I had one myself.
What was it?
That's a good question. I'm sorry. I can't answer the question.
So let's move on from 8-tracks, though, to cassette tape.
There we go.
So now they came out with a smaller format, just a two-sided tape that you would actually flip over.
That was the thing. 8-tracks, just stick it in once.
Right, right. Yeah. And it would just clunk, though, to its other tracks.
Right.
But with a cassette, you could flip it over. You still had no control of getting to a particular song except for fast forward, rewind, that kind of thing. But,
right.
But it was like smaller, convenient. Yeah. Well, not scrubbing either. You didn't have... there was kind of a scrub. Yeah, they actually had... Yeah.
When it was playing, you could go fast forward and you'd hear the music at the same time.
Some of them. Not at all those, but...
Right. And I think they discouraged it.
Discouraged it, yeah. Because wear on your tape.
Yeah.
Because it was engaged to the playhead still, and that would magnetize it. And what that would do is...
Screw up your tape.
Eventually suck that tape onto the playhead. Because of magnetization, it would pull the tape out of the cassette.
Yeah.
Casing, and so it gets stuck or stop, and you'd open up the drawer and take your tape out, and all the tape would be all over the place inside there.
Memories.
I hated that, man. Especially with a new tape, you always wanted to be so careful with them.
I know.
And then there were bad cassette players that when you stopped it, they had some roll on.
Yeah,
and that would affect it. You know, where the good ones, they would they had what was known, I think, as some type of a servo mechanism that would stop when you stopped.
Right.
And it was, your tape would roll on.
Yeah, the tension of your tape as you rewound and fast forward, it would get tight on the one end that it was rolling onto. So after so you try not to rewind or fast forward your tapes. Just play them.
As little as possible, yeah.
Yeah, just try to play them.
And also, I remember so many times taking 8-tracks or cassettes apart and changing the tape, making them shorter to fit something, making them longer, taping tape together inside
and all that
kind of stuff.
I remember doing some splicing.
Even with videotape, we did that kind of stuff.
But, for sure.
Wow. Personal home splicing.
For sure.
And the time
that
was
spent in that crap. What did you use for tape? Scotch tape?
Usually just tape, yeah. Scotch tape, me too. Yeah.
Just regular old Scotch tape worked fine and dandy.
Yeah. So, cassette, that was a really big thing. Cassette tape that was
but it didn't last quite as long as
well. I don't know if it's
a track, or do you think it lasted longer? I don't know.
Oh geez, I'm not sure about the time frame, but the thing is that I think technology was advancing faster, and if it was cut short, it was because of the fact of technology changing.
Right. So that's what I was trying to have that like as a back theme to our discussion here. What was the impetus for the next latest thing? What created the need or the want or whatever for the next thing to come along?
I can hardly even, I don't know that I can, I really even know about the transition, because I wasn't into DVDs or CDs when they first came out. So I had no idea, really. I was still into records and tapes. I know CDs started becoming very popular in the mid-80s or something like that, and I wasn't into them until, like,
because the players were so expensive.
It was probably not until sometime in the early 90s or so, early to mid-90s, that I really got into CDs.
So you were late to the party, which a lot of people were, I think.
Yeah.
So, and then there's people who just totally skipped the tape thing.
Also,
they went from LPs to CDs.
Yeah.
They didn't even believe in the tape deal
at all. Yeah, I was a big believer in the tape thing because for me, it was a lot of it was about recording. So I was really into the tape thing, and probably that's probably got a lot to do with the reason I wasn't into the CD thing yet is because I needed a recording medium, and cassette was the thing at the time.
Oh, of course.
You know, so I just used cassette for everything.
I was just in a drawer downstairs, and I found a Wicked Angel cassette tape.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty neat. Nostalgia. We should play a song from that. If we had something to play it on.
So you want to talk about the CD?
Let's slip in Tech Talk, and then we'll come back to the CD after.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
So we're on our way into the digital media format in the show, talking about records and tapes and beyond. And so today's little Tech Talk gadget, I guess, if you want to be more specific.
Oh, this is a gadget, absolutely. Yeah. It's the Belkin iPod Shuffle, third generation iPod Shuffle adapter. What Apple did with their third generation of iPod Shuffle, they took all the controls off of the device itself.
Let's make an MP3 music player with no controls on it.
Yeah. I don't get it, but anyway, that's Steve Jobs for you. So you had to use the headphones that came with the iPod Shuffle.
Oh, was that Steve's job?
That was Steve's job.
Steve Jobs.
So you had to
Steve
use the headphones that came with the Shuffle to control the new functionality that was put into these controlless iPod Shuffles. And that was the ability to put playlists on these Shuffles and get from one playlist to the next. But it doesn't also do that. It also tells you the song that's playing. And you're able to... So the controls are on the headphones to go fast forward and to go to the next song and go to the previous song and that kind of stuff.
Does it have forward and reverse preview like the cassettes did?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, no, you can't hold it down and let it skim through a scrub?
No skimming through the first 3 seconds of each song. So the controls are in the headphones. So that kind of, I would have to say that really makes people want to buy that or not, because a lot of people hate the Apple headphones that come with all iPods. And it's the same headphones, basically, except there's a little controller right in line with the right headphone jack, or bud, I should say. Mm-hmm. So the fine company at Belkin, fine people at Belkin, I should say, developed this piece of wire with a control in it. It's got an 1/8-inch jack, female on one end and male on the other end.
It's just a few inches long, and it's like cutting out the controller from the Apple headphones.
And
on one end, put a female, one end, put a male.
That's it.
That's cool.
So it's an inline deal. And this just came about, the functionality to able to do this is just within the recent iPod line that came out in September?
Yeah, September, yeah.
Yeah, when they announced the new 9th.
September 9th?
It was.
90909.
Great tune. So that's the Belkin deal. So you can use any headphones you want to use. You can use your puffy ones. I like using sound canceling headphones that block out sound, and they also create like a vacuum in your ear, so you get a really good bass response, which the headphones that come with the Shuffle don't have. That they're just buds that sit in your ear.
You're no longer limited to those headphones, so
yep.
That's cool.
Yeah,
this is Big JD's brother, and you're listening to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo.
So we're moving on to the digital formats.
Your brother can play piano CDs pretty good.
Yeah. He's awesome. Jamming and talking. CDs. So, yeah, CDs are, what are they, 5-inch, I believe? 5-inch disc.
Mm-hmm.
And the music's digitally transferred onto the CD.
But the big factor with quality is the mastering.
Yeah.
So when they first took the songs that were the music that was created and put on albums and tapes, now they had to take that analog signal and put them onto CDs. Mm-hmm. And the way that was done back in the day when CDs first started come out was kind of crappy. Mm-hmm. Compared to the way they do it now, where the way they master it is, it's more fine tuned to the way that CDs actually play in devices and optical drives. But the funny thing is, not many people buy CDs anymore. Mm-hmm. So now that they're recording it and mastering it for distribution on CDs, but
well, it's part of that is probably to entice people to buy CDs again or rebuy something that they had, because you know, to get the quality again, or to rip that and put it as MP3 again at a better quality.
Yeah.
So, but CDs are, you know, it's still the biggest medium of actually having that tangible.
Oh, right.
You know, product buying, and you know, you want the cover and you want this, you want that, and you know, you buy a CD. That's what you buy.
Right. But digital music is by far the preferred method of buying music nowadays.
Yeah.
People buy more music digitally than CD lists, because it's digital on a CD.
Yeah, but
as well.
I wonder how that compares to buying a CD, a full CD, or buying a song. You know what I mean? If you add all the songs up to the amount of people that buy a CD because they want the whole thing, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? I think there's going to be a little bit of difference there.
Yeah.
You know, but
I'm glad you got those figures in front of you. So can you tell us what those are?
1,205,015, I think it is, per capita. Yeah, I think that's it. So anyway.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Don't get me F started.
F.
Oh, yeah. Should have just been a...
Exactly. I think you did the same thing last time.
Yeah, probably. And you put it in there.
But anyway.
So, yeah. And then from CDs, you have that, the digital format.
Let me talk about your CD experience in your life. Did you buy a bunch of CDs?
I got rid of all my records and tapes and used that money to start the CD collection of all the records and tapes I had. I wanted to change the format, and that's what I did.
Wow. So that's a yes.
Yes.
You did buy a bunch of CDs.
I did, yeah. And I bought a bunch at one time, too. All the I started from my list of all the main things that I had to get first.
Right.
And I got them all at once with the most money I could from getting rid of all my stuff.
Right.
And then from there on, it was, yeah, I'd go to Detroit every weekend and buy a stack of CDs.
Wow. That sounds like fun.
Well, at first, I got like tons. Like, I probably bought hundreds at once.
Hundreds.
But then after that, it was like just buying a stack, man. And then most of the stuff I wanted was like, I'd go and I'd spend like, you know, 45, 65 American on one CD because they were imports. Rare stuff, hard to find, and that's the stuff I wanted to get back.
Sure.
They had a lot of rare records and stuff like that, so it cost me a lot of money, man.
Wow.
Then eventually I sold all my, I brought all my CDs to Dr. Disc. Got thousands of dollars for them.
Really?
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, thousands of dollars for
and
my
now
CD
Dr.
collection.
Now Dr. Disc is not even around, is it?
Yeah,
oh, Dr. Disc, sure. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of the place on Walker Road.
Yeah, they can't go out of business yet. They got some of the new Wicked Angel CDs there.
Gee.
It's the only thing keeping them alive.
I'm really glad Dr. Disc still is there. It's like an institution in Windsor, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, I guess.
I think every city has their
Dr.
Disc.
I was there at its, a lot of them have Dr. Disc.
Oh, real, yeah, I realize, yeah.
Like a, you know, yeah, yeah. Well, not a lot of them. I think here in London it is probably all now. But I was there at its inception, and I was a big part of that. We did a lot there. Like, it was all, like, I still hang out with guys that started that place, you know what I mean?
Really?
Like, yeah. Yeah, the originators and everything, and it's pretty cool. It was,
sure
it was a big, cool thing, and it was like the place for Wicked Angel, you know what I mean? That was where we put our posters up, and that's where we brought our CDs, and that's where, you know what I mean? That was... Not like today when you can use, there's so many other mediums and the internet and everything, you know what I mean? But the local record store, especially the kind that wasn't franchised, it was like, you know, and I used to record my buddy's band in the basement there.
Mm-hmm. And? Oh, the basement in Dr. Diss.
The basement in Dr. Diss, yeah.
Oh, I see. I didn't even know there was a basement there.
I'd get first dibs on stuff that came in, used stuff, and yeah, it was great.
So there's always been vinyl at Dr. Disc, but mm-hmm. CDs mm-hmm. came in and out.
Yeah, CDs came in.
Or I should later. Say, like, they tape as well, out. Yeah.
Yeah, tape, too. I don't know. Yeah, you can still get tapes there, too, probably, but not very many. Not much.
But they still got a pretty large vinyl selection
yeah.
there.
Yeah. You don't find that everywhere anymore.
No.
There was a little place called Olympic Records that was great for vinyl, man, and I used to love going there to buy records.
Me too. That's where I found like rare stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Got a lot of rare stuff there. And I remember that guy when I brought him the leftovers of my collection that nobody would take.
Right.
And he was really upset with me because I was like, I was in there a lot and getting records all the time, everything, you know, and he knew that I had a lot of good stuff that would have been good for him to get, you know. And and he goes, oh, you just brought me all the junk. I took a few things and that's it, you know. And
that's not nice, Big JD.
Well, I got to go where the getting's good. I brought my records to the U.S. No.
Oh.
No, I brought everything to States, man.
Did you not just say you went to Dr.
Tubs
Disc?
And Tubs. Dr. Disc was where I did...
Oh, you brought your CDs there?
CDs, yeah.
Okay. Them there. Gotcha. You didn't bring your CDs to Olympic Records.
I think I probably brought a few tail end of those there, too, and he wasn't happy with it. And, yeah.
I am not your garbage container.
I probably put his kids through college as it was, so he should be thanking me.
He should be spanking you. Okay, we've officially used that too much. And that too. Thank you very much. Oh, my.
Oh, behave.
Exactly. So, nowadays, we don't particularly buy too many CDs. Even though I know I buy a CD every once in a while, or a CD will come into my office every once in a while.
When's the last time you got a CD? How long ago did you buy a CD or get a CD?
A couple months ago.
Okay.
It was the Government Mule played somewhere. Bonnaroo CD, I think.
Okay.
I guess that was it. Maybe it was the latest Grady CD. I'm not sure.
Ooh. Nice. last one I got was just a few days ago, I guess, was the V.V. Smith, actually.
There we go.
And that V.V. Smith is an ex Wicked Angel, the U.S. Wicked Angel. There's a couple U.S. Wicked Angels, actually, sort of officially, and one is really brutally bad, but the one that he is from was a really cool band, Wicked Angel. And but he's got a country rock band, and it's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
So you say the other Wicked Angel was wickedly bad, but they're not still around, are they?
The other one that's crappy?
Yes.
I really don't know. They have some stuff on YouTube. If you look up Wicked Angels on YouTube, you'll find some of that crappy band. You'll find us, which was obviously phenomenal. And then the other Wicked Angel band, though, you won't find anything on either. They were on a major label band and only put out one record and very hard to find. Hard to get the CD. Hard to get, I don't think they even have any video of any kind.
Wow.
Which I'm really surprised about because they were good. Really good.
But they were metal though, right?
Yeah, they were metal. They were like biker type metal looking guys.
Cool.
I think there was a girl in the band too. One lead guitar
player
was a girl, yeah. I didn't know. She's great. My buddies, they call me up one day and say, you got to check this band out, man. We thought it was you. And I said, what are you talking about? Well, I thought you had Wicked Angel back together because there's a band called Wicked Angel and this guitar playing sounds just like you. And so I went, I checked it out, and I'm like, sure enough, yeah, sounded like me playing. And it's called Wicked Angel, and it was like really cool stuff. I really like it. And anyway, but it was a different band altogether. And
sounded like you. That's pretty.
Yeah, I don't very often hear my style of heavy metal playing, really.
Me
whatever
neither.
That means.
But. Yeah, I know what it means. But anyway, you want to get into.
I do. Jabber quote.
Sure.
Jabber quote, jabber quote, jabber quote.
When I said, did you want to get into, I wasn't actually thinking of the Jabber quote.
Oh, no?
No.
What were we going to get into? MP3s?
MP3s, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because now you got to scrambling for a quote for the Jabber quote.
Well, there's not much to talk about MP3s, really, because that's the big new thing that everybody's into. MP3s, and of course other formats, AAC, AAF, WAV files using for certain things. But MP3, that's the big music thing now. So enough said. Let's move on.
Well, I'm just thinking of the demise of any physical anything. Everything's been physical. Now there's no physical.
Yeah.
So no. It's really irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because basically we were talking about devices that, you know, used to something mechanical. Now it's all just in your computer or on a hard drive somewhere.
Yeah. It's all like virtual. So that's the way things have gone. MP3. And for anybody, there can't be anybody listening to our show that doesn't know what MP3 is anyway, really, I guess. I mean, your podcasts are, generally MP3 format or maybe the Apple's AAC or whatever, but MP3, that's what it is. You're listening to the Jabbercast via MP3, sometimes streamed, and always the podcast. So
sometimes it's going to be streamed all the time. Why wouldn't it be
streamed? Well, no, it'll always be streamed, but I mean the live stream. Sometimes we will actually broadcast a previous show, and that's an MP3 being streamed as opposed to our live stream.
Oh, right.
As opposed to the podcast, which they can listen to online, which is a stream of basically of an MP3. So anyway, but moving on to the Jabber quote now.
Why? You got one?
No, I thought you were ready.
No. You want to get an LP record quote?
Anything you can.
No, I'm saying if you want to get one, you can still record an LP record.
Oh, okay, yeah, because you can get a quote for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So
there you go. There's the quote. Give me a quote. How much? $100? $200?
I don't know how much it would be.
A lot.
Because now it's all you can get is the quote of the day, which has nothing to do with LP records. Because there is no famous quote about an LP record that you can get to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean. There probably is, but I guess you'd have to really search or word it right that they, you know what I mean?
Albert Einstein never said anything about LP records.
And Albert Einstein didn't know anything about records. There probably wasn't any.
When?
He came out of the phonograph age.
But didn't he die like in the 50s?
I don't know. Maybe he was rocking and rolling.
I've never seen a monument erected to a pessimist.
Speaking of erected,
yes. There are never enough.
A girl that once shaved her legs and wrecked them.
She wrecked her legs?
Yeah.
I said that's enough of that already.
All righty. We'll cut all those out.
In the podcast.
I'm going to leave this here for you to edit.
No editing. I will not edit.
Neither will I. I never do anymore.
You don't edit the Jabbercast, no.
Not really. You get what you get now. Unless there's something that we really got to take out or there's a problem or something.
Right, exactly.
You know.
But do you fix it up at all?
Fix it up?
Yeah, in terms of sound.
Yeah, in terms of sound.
Sound quality.
Spice it up a little.
Chris Rock said you don't pay taxes, they take taxes.
Okay, this all has nothing to do with...
has nothing. No, absolutely.
There's got to be something. Let's see, digital, what would you call it? Digital audio saying or something like that? Top saying.
Here we go.
Okay. Recording digital audio, what clients are saying. Yeah, it's very difficult to...
Very difficult indeed.
How about something to the effect of... MP3 to LP is like
holy,
you know,
you sound like Gandhi or something.
Is like Lamborghini to Dodge Omni. Oh, you want that? You find the
hey boy. No. I'm looking, but there's nothing getting me. Mike Myers, people ask me to record. No, that's nothing. Elvis Presley. Man, that record came out and it was a big hit in Memphis. They started playing it and they got really big. Don't know why the lyrics had no meaning.
Don't know why the lyrics had no meaning or don't know why?
Don't know why. The lyrics had no meaning. Yeah. There we go.
That's the quote. So yeah, that was a toughie. So yeah, we're going to have to leave it at that, I think. We got some other people coming in the studio to do a show.
They're waiting in the wings, as it were.
And so what's going on next week? You got that up?
Speaking of erected, do you got that up?
Oh, jeez.
So you're not,
I'm nowhere near there right now.
I know, that's
I'm
good.
I'm actually looking for, see what we got coming up next week on the show is the Green Room, I believe. Yeah, the Green Room. No, not the Jabbercast Studio Green Room. We discuss different things that are helping our environment as well as things that are hurting it. And can
the negative effects be reversed?
I want to say, I don't know what I want to say. I was reading it wrong.
Okay.
Can negative effects be reversed? Yeah, okay. Well, we'll discuss all things green.
So it's going to be a green show?
Yeah, it's going to be a green show. Bring your green thumb with you.
That's I like that topic, just like I like today's topic. The green, it's because everybody's talking about being green. And, of course, it's like something that everybody's trying to get into their consciousness. The government's trying to get into your consciousness. Companies are trying to get it into their consciousness. Like everybody wants to appear to be green. And so we're going to discuss all the implications of that.
Sounds good.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody.
See you next week.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.